You have done so much for us, Lord, and we're just thankful. Thankful for your protection, for the health and strength that you've given us, and for the opportunity and privilege we have of being in your house today. We've come, dear God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask your blessing on this offering. May you be glorified through what we give this day. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you. King above all kings.
testimony? All right. We're ready for Pastor Rob. Jason Stewart, would you stand and pray for Pastor Rob if he comes to bring him?
Lord, he's coming this morning. We just want to thank you for what we've heard in Tulsa so far this morning, Lord. Your presence, Lord. We just pray that you will continue on, Father, that hearts will be touched, Lord. I just pray, Father, for Rob to bring some message, Lord, that something that's centered on, Father, through him, by you, Father, somebody will be touched. Most of all, Lord, if someone's here that doesn't know you, Lord, I just pray that today will be this morning, Father. They will give their life to you. Lead God to Christ, Lord. You're never afraid.
Amen. Amen.
Rob, I don't think that I've ever heard music come out of so good that we had a president who was so absolutely perfect. They were in tune. They knew the songs that they were singing. And even down to the smallest one that was all the way on the other end, they were making the hand motions that they were doing. And they were giving praise unto the Lord.
Amen.
And I love that. That's what this is all about, gathering together in his house for praise and to worship him. Y'all pray for me.
Amen.
Brother Ross, before we get started, it's wonderful here. She said you were the same point. There's one other thing we need to do here this morning. And we need to stand and pray.
Everybody stand up.
We are so blessed and so
blessed. Amen. Amen.
Day. You know, in our class this morning, the teacher asked the kids, what's the first thing you do when you get up? And, you know, first thing I heard was grab my phone, you know. What about anybody else? Anybody else just first thing you look at your phone? I got one, two, all right. Others, we don't want to admit it, right? That ought to be what we do. We ought to jump up out of bed. Like I would do this too. We ought to jump up out of bed, throw our hands up, and just praise the Lord, huh? What do you think? What time do you get up in the morning? Tomorrow morning, what time will you get up? 5, 7, 5. Anybody before 5?
3:30.
I won't even be dreaming about waking up at that time. That would be a nightmare anyway, getting up at 3:30. What if we all jumped up out of bed and just threw our hands up and shouted, praise the Lord? How much better would our day be? We will probably never know. Because when the alarm goes off, we are not thinking, praise the Lord, are we? I hit the snooze, I praise him for that button. Praise the Lord for 10 more minutes. Who hits the snooze? Be honest. Who hits it more than once? There you go. 6 times do I get it? I'm with you. All right, well, praise the Lord for that button, right? I love that button. If you've got your Bibles, turn to the book of John chapter 4. The book of John, praise the Lord for the snooze button. If nothing else to praise him for. Unless you have my radio, my clock thing, and I sometimes hit the wrong button, and instead of going off, it changes to blaring loud radio. And that just, then you're mad. Ruins your day.
Well, I praise the Lord for being retired because I sleep longer, so I don't have to get.
We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you, brother. All right, John chapter 4. We'll look at verse 46. John 4 and 46 says, So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him, and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the 7th hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Just want to take a look for a few minutes at this section of scripture and gain some lessons from this guy, from this smart, intelligent guy. This you know, they say wise men still seek him. You know, the wise men that sought Jesus when he was born, right? You know, the three wise men, however many there were, debatable. This is one of the wise men in the Bible because he sought after Jesus. But what I want to look at first, I touched on this last week in the sermon over there. The Bible says here, when he heard that Jesus, when he heard that Jesus. Now, the only way that he could hear is how? How? People talk. The only way you can hear is if people talk. The only way we can hear something is if somebody's saying something. Now, it could be talking to you, it could be on the radio, it could be on the TV, it could be on the CD, whatever. But the only way we can hear is if somebody is talking, if somebody is making noise, somebody is vocalizing. And the Bible says here, he heard that Jesus. Now, so what they were talking about was Jesus. What they were talking about when this man was around was Jesus. Their conversation focused around Jesus, and they got his attention. Now, that's what God wants us to do. That's what God wants us to do. He told us in Mark chapter 16, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." To every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, to preach just means to go tell. To preach just means to go talk. Preach just means to go communicate. So what he's saying to you and what he's saying to me is our simple duty, our reasonable duty, our expected duty is just that we go talk. We go tell. We go communicate. Communicate what? Communicate about Jesus. Now, I want everybody to look at somebody, no matter if they ain't looking back at you because they're looking at somebody else, look to somebody beside you and say, "Jesus loves you." Now look the other person beside you and say, "Jesus wants to help you in your life." So everybody this morning just got witnessed to, just got preached to, and just preached. And you just witnessed. It's that simple. And that's all he asks us to do. He says, just go into all the world. Go into, and notice he says, go into all the world. Exclude nowhere. Exclude nothing. Exclude no place. And preach or talk or tell. Communicate to every creature, to everyone. Tell all. What he says in Matthew, he says it like this. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Teach all nations. In other words, it don't matter who they are, what they are, where they are, how they look or how they live, or what they wear, or what they drive, or what their appearance is. It don't matter if you like them, if you don't like them. Is there anybody in here that has somebody in their life realm that they really don't like? Don't raise your hand, because we're all in church, so we all just love everybody. We know that. You all love everybody. But there's might be someone you love so little that you'd rather them not cross your path. Not that you would hate them or hurt them or hit them. But, you know, maybe they're aggravating. You know, maybe they're your boss and they keep telling you to do stuff. I don't know. Just don't come into my office. Maybe those people. God says, you know what? Just go tell them. Tell them what? I don't know what to tell them. You just did it. It's that simple. Just go tell them that Jesus loves you, that Jesus wants to help you in your life, that Jesus wants to save you. He told us in Matthew, he said, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." What's your world? Is your world Africa? Is your world Europe? Is your world China? How many of you are going to be in China tomorrow morning? So that's not your world you need to worry about. Somebody else will be over there. That's their world. Where will you be tomorrow morning? How many of you will be in school? Anybody in school tomorrow? Do you have school tomorrow? Oh. How many of you won't be at work tomorrow? There you go. All right. I didn't know you had school. All right. Anyway, so you're in school tomorrow. That's your world. That is your whole world. That's all Jesus says to you and to me is go into your world, where you live, where you go, where you work, except for tomorrow because you work for the government and you get the day off. Right. How many will be at work tomorrow? Pray for John. He's not going to be. Steve's going to be in bed sleeping. John will be in bed sleeping. No, I'll be in bed sleeping too tomorrow. I'm off, so. What he says is, Stevie, just go tell somebody Jesus loves them. Is that hard to do? Oh, man, it is such a simple thing to do. But he says, go into all the world and let that light shine. Be that light. Be the light that brightens the place. Be the one that when you walk into the room, people are glad. I was talking with somebody in the bank this week, and it's the cutest couple you ever saw. 92 and 93 years old. Oh, and they're just the cutest thing you ever saw. They come in together, and they're on walkers, and she's giving him a hard time, and he's giving it back. He don't really give it back. He knows better, but she gives him a hard time. But everybody, they come in, and everybody, the whole place just lightens up because everybody just loves it when they walk in. Well, she passed away, and I was talking to him. I went out to the car. His caretaker said he's in the car, so I went out to him. I said, you know, we're going to miss her because you brighten the place up when you walk through the door. And that's the truth. When they walk through the door, everybody just smiles. Because you just love to see them, and they're, you know, they can't hold hands, but they walk side by side, and they're sitting, and it's so cute. Be that person. Be the person that when you walk through the door, people lighten up. The place brightens up. That everybody gets happy, at least for a minute. That couple, dogs and babies. And where I work, that couple, dogs and babies, brighten the place up, right? And yes, we have dogs. I have regular customers that are dogs. And they come up to our counter, and they get up on our counter, and they know they're going to get a treat, just like you know you're going to get a sucker, right? So they're regular customers. I can tell you their names, tell you what kind of dog they are. But when they all come in, that's what we ought to be. Jesus says, just be that. Just be that person that tomorrow morning when you're at school or when you're at work, you're not the one with your head hung down that drags everybody down. Go and tell them. Why? Because they have to hear. And how can they hear unless I talk? And how can I talk unless I'm around? And who wants to hear me if I'm all down? You know, there are people that I know that I don't say, how are you doing today? Because I don't got 10 minutes to hear everything that's wrong. 10 minutes is a short conversation with them. But I just say, good morning, and that's it. Don't be that person. Be the person that's cheerful, that people want to say, how are you? Because life's good. Because life is good. If you're looking, I have a customer, if you're looking down at dirt and not up at dirt, you're doing good, right? So life is good. Be that. Go be that person and go tell, because someone had to tell him, because the Bible said he heard that Jesus, and they talked about Jesus, so we need to go talk about Jesus. He heard that Jesus was come into Galilee. And then the next thing is, he went. He went. He heard, and he went. He went. Now see, the thing about talking to people is when you tell them about Jesus, when you talk about Jesus, and they hear you talk about Jesus, and they go, that changes that person's world. It reminded me when I was studying this, it reminded me of this story. There was a lady walking down the beach. Her name was Sandy. Her name was Sandy Walker, and she was walking. And she came across this part where there was all kinds of starfish. And this is true because I read it on the internet, by the way. And you know that. I tell you all the time, I believe the internet, right? I used to say newspaper, but what is a newspaper? Anybody know? Anybody not know? I haven't seen one in like 100 years, right? So if you read on the internet, you know it's true. So there's a lady, Sandy, walking down the beach. She comes to this place, this section where there's all kinds of starfish, and they just washed up on shore. Now, you know a starfish out of water does what? Dies and dries up, right? Is no longer alive. So she's picking them up, and she's throwing them out one at a time. Picks this one up, and she throws it out there, and she picks this one up, and she throws it down there. And this person walks up to her and says, what are you doing? She says, well, I'm saving these starfish. He says, you know you can't change the whole world. She says, well, I can change the whole world for this little guy. And throws him back in, and he lives. When you talk to somebody about Jesus, and they hear, and they go to Jesus, you just change the whole world for that person. You change the whole world for that person. You change the whole outcome of that person. You change the destiny of that person. You change the eternity for that person. And think about this. You don't just change that person's world, but when you throw that starfish back, when you throw that person back, when you bring that person to the Lord, that person then does what? Goes and talks about Jesus to somebody else. So you change somebody's whole world who changes somebody's whole world. who changes somebody's whole world. And it keeps going. Why? Because when the Spirit gets inside of us and we do what we felt led to do, we go talk and they hear. And like this guy, the Bible says, when he heard, he went. So we need to go. Jesus says unto you, come unto me all. Come unto me. Please come. Please come and talk to me. Please come and communicate with me. Please come and let me know your feelings. The Bible says, Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. Seek me and ye shall find me. You see, the Bible says, I think it's Matthew 7. Seek and ye shall find. For him that seeketh, findeth. And we often think about that when we're praying. We talk about praying for things, right? You know, you have not because you ask not. Knock, it'll be open. Seek, you'll find. But I thought about this. If that object of seeking is Jesus, how great is it to find that object? If that object of seeking is God's will, how great is it to find that object? If that object you're seeking is his peace, how great is it to find that peace? And what he says is, if you will seek, you will find. So when you seek after Jesus, he says, you will find that which you're seeking for. You will find me. I will be there for you. I will be what you're looking for. I will be what you're finding. Revelation says it like this. Because see, Jesus invites you and me to come all through the scriptures. Old Testament, New Testament. In Jesus' words, in the writings, he tells us all the time. He says in Revelations, and the bride says, come, come. And the Spirit says, come, come. Let him that hears say, come, come. And let him that thirsts, let him come and take freely. So he says to you and to me, he says, come. And maybe, just maybe, just maybe, one of those people that was talking to this nobleman said to him, you know, Jesus, he's the one that can cure all. He's the one that cures, he's the one that performs miracles. He walks on water and he calms the seas and he tells the wind to stop and he tells the waves to go away and he tells the fever to leave and he tells death to just leave this person, let go of him. Maybe, just maybe, somebody said, you know what, this Jesus isn't just the Jesus that does that. But this Jesus is also one that says to everybody, says, come to me and bring me your need. So when his son was sick, someone might have said, you know, that Jesus I've told you about, the Jesus I talked to you about, the Jesus that you heard about, is also a Jesus that says to you, come. Come to me, bring to me. Come now and bring me your need. Come now and bring me your cares. Come now and bring me your worries. So just maybe somebody said, Mr. Nobleman, you need to go to Jesus for your son. Take that need to him, get him to them, and just maybe, without a doubt, he can heal him. So the Bible says he went down. He went. Why? Because he did just what Jesus tells us to do. Jesus says to us to come. Jesus says, I like when he says this in Isaiah. He says, come now. I think it's one of Jimmy's favorites. Come now, and I like this. I like this. But you got to think about it my way, all right? You got to think my way, and that's weird, so I'm going to lead you down the path here. Come now, and let us reason together. 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 That's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of it all, the Savior of it all, the Ruler of it all, telling you, asking you to come talk to Him. And not just talk to Him, but reason with Him. What do I mean? I think about it like this. I think He says, here's the table. Come to my table. Maybe it's a dinner table. Anybody eat at a dinner table? Anybody still eat at a dinner? Some people laugh like, what is a dinner table? It's that thing that has all kinds of papers on it. See, everybody has one of those, right? We just use them for different things. So I think Jesus says, come to my table. I'm going to move the papers, put them in a box, stick them in a closet, and we're going to talk. And I want you to lay out everything you've got. I want you to bring to me what you've got and just lay it out there. And Jesus says, I'm going to lay what I got out there. And we're going to talk. We're going to reason. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to talk with you. You're not just going to talk to me. You're going to talk with me. We're going to discuss your life. Tell me yours, I'll tell you mine. And I think that God says to you and me, let's reason together. Bring what you've got. Bring your thoughts and your cares. Bring your brilliant ideas. Because I think all my ideas are brilliant. Right? Who in here thinks all their ideas are brilliant? Be honest. All right? A few ladies and a bunch of men just lied. So, we're going to change the message to telling the truth. Right? So we think they're brilliant. And Jesus says, I'm sure they are. And you're, bring them to me and let's talk. So he says, let's just talk. Let's just figure this. Let's figure life out. Because life needs figuring out. And I don't know the answer. Because I'm down in the valley looking. And he's on the mountaintop looking. Right? He's up here seeing it all. I'm down here trying to make my way through. I don't know what's around the next turn, but he's up here, so he does. So he says, come, please, come to me, and let's talk about it. Let's reason. Let's talk about life. And I thought about some people that came to Jesus. I thought about a whole bunch, but real quick. So there was a leper one time. The Bible says Jesus came into town, and there was a leper that came to Jesus. Not the 10 that Jesus went to, but there was one time he came to town, and a leper came to Jesus, and his leprosy was healed. Says the leprosy left him. Leprosy went away. One place in Matthew says, when Jesus come into the house, that two blind men came to him. See, the leper came to Jesus. The Bible says the two blind men came to Jesus, and they left with their sight. Then it says, then came a woman of Canaan and worshipped him. Then came the woman to him and worshipped him. Then came the woman to him and bowed herself down and worshipped him. Had a daughter that was grievously vexed. And she said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I've got a daughter who's grievously vexed. And before she finished the encounter with Jesus, her daughter was healed and the devil was gone. Why? Because she came to Jesus. Because she heard that you can do that. And she went and did that. And when you do that, Jesus will meet whatever need you have. Move on down. Let's go down to verse 48. Verse 48, and I've not told you what verse we've been preaching out of, 47. All right, verse 48 says, then said Jesus unto him, because let's go back to 47 real quick, because I love this. Jesus just blows your mind. At least he does mine. So when he heard that Jesus was come, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for his son was point of death. All right, so he said, think about this. He said, Jesus, I need you to heal my son. And Jesus in verse 48 says to him, says, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. What? I don't know about you, but I'm trying to figure out where that came from. You know, I have this thing I like to say, and I've told you before, if people would answer the question I ask, we'd get to the end a whole lot quicker. You know what I mean? And I think I said that yesterday. Didn't I say that yesterday, I think? So he goes to Jesus, he says, I need you to heal my son. He's about to die. And Jesus looks at him and says, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. And I'm thinking, where in the world did this come from? And I don't know. I didn't figure it out, so I'm not going to teach anything right there. I just think Jesus is crazy because, not psycho crazy, he's just wild crazy. But that's his way because his thoughts are higher than my thoughts and his ways are higher than my ways. But his thoughts are better than my ways and his ways are better than my ways. And it has a better outcome. But he went to this guy and he said, all right, so you see signs and wonders you won't believe. And he didn't get the answer that he was looking for. He expected a different answer, right? So what's he do? He goes back to Jesus again. And he says, sir, come down or my child will die. You see, he didn't stop. He didn't stop with the answer. He knew that Jesus has ways that he doesn't have. He knew that Jesus has thoughts that he didn't have. But he knew that Jesus can do what he can't do. So he didn't take the answer that he didn't get, that he didn't want to hear, and say, all right, that's enough. He went back to Jesus again. He said, son, sir, I need you to come save my son. I need you. Okay, signs and wonders, maybe I need that. But what I need right now is I need you to meet this need. It's a need that I have. It's a care that I have. It's a worry that I have. And it's great that I need signs and wonders. But the sign I need right now is you. I need you to move. And you know what Jesus didn't do? Jesus didn't go, you didn't understand my answer. Go figure it out. When you figure out my answer, then come back. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He didn't say, fine, you're done till you get through the riddle. What he said was, go your way. Your son lives. Go your way. Your son lives. So the guy, when he went to Jesus, just like when you go to Jesus, just like when you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I need this. I've got something that I can't do that I need you to do. I've got something that you have to do. You have to intervene. If not, it won't happen. If not, it won't change. If not, it won't fix. If not, it won't go away. If not, it won't stop. So if you don't intervene, Jesus, if you don't move on my behalf, it won't be what it needs to be. He didn't give up, so I would say to you, don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop giving it to God. Don't stop laying it at his feet. As many times as it takes, keep putting it there. Keep giving it to Jesus. Keep going back. You don't get the answer you need. You don't get the answer you feel. You need to go back to him and say, I need an answer. I need this. I need that. Lord, talk to me. You know what he'll do? He'll talk to you. Just like this guy. And eventually, you'll get your prayer answered. You'll get what you need. You'll get the need met. And Jesus says to him, go thy way. Thy son liveth. Now, here's the important thing. In verse 50, the Bible says, and the man believed the word that Jesus spoke unto him and went his way. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke. Faith. Faith. Believing that Jesus' words are real. Believing that Jesus' words are true. Believing that Jesus' promises will always come true. Believing that you can stand on what Jesus says. That you can live by what Jesus says. That you can do exactly what Jesus says you can do. So the Bible says that he believed the words that he spoke, faith. And he went his way. Faith in action. Faith in action. What does James tell us? James says, one guy says, I have faith. One guy says, I have works. One guy says, I'll show you my faith without my works. How will you do that? The other one says, I'll show you my faith by my works. I believe Jesus, and therefore I do what he asked me to do. And by doing those works that he asked me to do and following his commands and living out his will, then you'll see my faith in action. This guy has faith and then puts it into action. That's what you and I need to do. When Jesus gives us the answer, take it, live with it, and go with it. Why? Because it's going to work out. Believe. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And believing when you pray is getting what you want. When you believe, when you pray, the Bible says Jesus will honor your prayer. Had a lady in my office not too long ago. Taught me a lesson about this. She said she was taking her grandson to school one day. True story. Not off the internet. And she had car problems. On the way to school, she had car problems. So she coasted it off the side of the road, and it wouldn't start back up. Wouldn't start. Sitting on the side of the road, car wouldn't start. And she said, I just said, Lord, I said it out loud. I said, Lord, I need this car to work. I've got to get my grandson to school, and this is my only way. I need this car to start. She said she started right up after that, and it just right to school she went. So a few days later, something happens to the family dog. And she's holding the dog, and she says to the kids, there's nothing I can do. It's hurt, and I can't fix it. There's nothing I can do. And the grandson, her words were, he said, Grandma, duh. And she said, what? He said, pray. A simple lesson taken by a child can teach me how to use my faith. If you can pray for God to heal your car, and he does. Can we not pray for God to heal a dog? And he will. Can you not pray for God to heal your relationships? And he will. Can you not pray for God to heal your heart? And he will. Can you not pray for God to heal your family? And he will. Can you not pray for anything and God can do it? God can do all things. With him, nothing is impossible to those that believe. When you believe what you're praying and you give it to God and Jesus takes it, you can only sit back and watch what happens and be dumbfounded at Jesus. So he believed. He went on his way and he believed. And the Bible says, well, let's real quick. The next verse says, he went home, and on his way home, and this is Jesus giving you proof. Because Jesus will give you proof, he'll give you confirmation, he'll give you what you need to know that what he does is real and that he is true. So the Bible says that when he was walking on his way home, the next day, his servants met him, and they told him, your son's alive. He didn't die. He's still here. Now notice, though, that he didn't get what he wanted the way he wanted it. God didn't do God's will the nobleman's way. Listen to the request of the nobleman. Sir, if you will come, my son will live. Sir, I need you to come to my house because my son is dying. Jesus says, go on your way. He's alive, and I'm staying here. Right? God's will, God's way. Not God's will, my way. Sometimes I get those intertwined, and I think I know better. No, we don't think that. I don't go, really, God? That's how you want it? Here's a much better way. We never do that, because we know better than that. But sometimes what I do is I just go ahead and do it my way anyway. God says, you know, take 3 steps forward, 2 steps to the left, 8 steps forward and 2 steps back over, and you'll be on the same path. And I'm like, God, the best way is straight ahead, so I'm just going to walk straight ahead, forget the detour. And when I go my way, life gets rough. Something happens. Something goes wrong. I eventually get to the same place, but it takes me a little while, and I got to go through some stuff, some junk. If I'd went God's way, he'd have taken me around the detour. Why? Because he's on the mountain looking down in the valley, and I'm walking through the valley. I can see just ahead of me, but he sees the whole valley. So the nobleman didn't get what he wanted, his way. But he got what he wanted because it was God's will. So they said to him, your son lives. And he says, when did he start coming back? When did he lose? And they said, the 7th hour. And he said, that is right when Jesus said these words to me, thy son liveth. You see, that's proof to this man that Jesus is Lord. That's proof to this man that Jesus is God. That's proof to this man that when Jesus speaks, you can bank on it. When Jesus speaks, you can live on it. When Jesus speaks, you can live with it. You can do it. You can believe it. You can act on it. Why? Because when Jesus speaks, it's the truth. And you can know that when Jesus speaks into your life, that when Jesus speaks into your spirit, that when Jesus gives you a word that you're looking for, that it's the word that's the truth. It's the word that is needed. And it's the way it needs to be done. And when done that way, it'll always be the best. And the outcome will always be good. You'll always be the victor when you do it Jesus' way. Sometimes it's not how we expect, but it's still the outcome we need. Sometimes it's not what I think, but it's still the outcome that I need. Why? Because Jesus is Lord, I'm not. Jesus is all-knowing, I'm not. Jesus is all-powerful, I'm not. And Jesus is always right, and I'm definitely not. But Jesus is on your side. Just like this nobleman. Just like this nobleman with his son. Jesus was on his side. So Jesus gives him proof. And you can look back over your life. I can look back over my life. And I have proof in there. Because I can see where Jesus worked. Where God worked. And everything worked out just like it should. And the best outcome came to be in the best way. And the good thing is, sometimes it's in ways that we can't even imagine. And we just go, wow. How did that even happen? Wow, how did you work that one? How in the world did that come from over here? We don't know. That's why he's called God. That's why he's the Lord, and he's the Savior, and he's the ruler. So let's look at this story for just a minute real quick. Just about done. Not that done yet. So let's apply this to our life for a minute. Why? Because if you can't apply this Bible to your life, what good is this Bible? If I can't apply this word to my life, what good is this word? None. You know, our teacher this morning, who's doing an awesome job, she told us we need to know what the Bible says, and we need to know what we believe, we need to know why we believe it, and why, because of the Bible, and we need to know, not think, but know. If I don't know what the Bible says and I don't know what God thinks, I can't apply it to my life and use it, it does me no good. This Bible collecting dust changes no lives at all. None. This Bible being open and being put in here changes lots of lives. So let's take just a couple of minutes and apply this. So the first thing I was looking at is if this morning, if never before you have heard, you know, this might be your first time in church. I don't know, in a crowd like this, maybe it's your first time in church. Maybe it's the first time you ever heard about Jesus, about God. If never you've heard this before, this morning you've gotten step one. You've heard about God. You've heard about his love. You've heard about his almighty power. You've heard about his will. He wants to save you from a devil's hell into your heaven. He wants to work in your life. He wants to work in your situations. He wants to work in your cares. He wants to work in your anxieties. He wants to work in your life so that you can be a better person, so that your life will be easier for you. Not that life will be easy, but it'll be easier for you. See, to walk through trouble with nobody on your side is hard. To walk through trouble with Jesus right beside you is easier. Not easy, but easier. And that's what he wants to do. So this morning, we've heard. You've heard. Now, tomorrow morning when you wake up and you jump out of bed, and what's the first thing you're going to do? Grab your phone. That's right. You're going to jump out of bed, throw your arms up and say, praise the Lord, right? And when the devil sees that and he gets mad at you and life Monday morning goes wrong, we're going to remember that we've heard that Jesus loves you even in those moments when life's going wrong. Just because life's going wrong don't mean Jesus don't love you. Well, if he loved me, it wouldn't happen. No, because he loves you, it happens, but he's there. Because life happens to everybody, lost and saved. Why? Because you're alive. Life will could happen to you when you die, all right? I promise. At that point, when you die, life will no longer happen to you. Not down here. Life in heaven will, but nothing ever goes wrong there, so life will be great. At that point, we'll be glad life is happening to us. If you're not on your way to heaven this morning, let's change that. Jesus says, come unto me and I'll save you. If you call on me, I'll save you. If you come to me, I'll not cast you out. I'll turn your life, I'll forgive you. So we can take care of that. So this morning, we've heard, you've heard. Now, the second is we all have issues and situations in life. We all have issues in life. We all have situations in life that we don't like or that we don't need or that we think is wrong or that we think needs change, right? Take them to God. Jesus said, come and bring them to me. Come and cast them on my shoulders. Life can be hard to bear, can be heavy, weighted. Jesus says, come, put them on my shoulders. I can take them. They say at work a lot of times, they like to blame me for anything that goes wrong. I always say, that's fine. I'm old enough, my shoulders can take it. But you know what? In life, that ain't true. Life, that ain't true. There are things that happen that I can't take. My shoulders will not bear. His will. And the thing about him is he gladly asks you to give them to him. He gladly says, please, give me that trial. Give me that situation. Give me that tribulation. Give me that care. Give me that worry. Give me that anxiety. Give me that battle. Give me that fight. Let me carry it. Let me bear it. Let me put it on my shoulders because mine are big and they can handle it. He says that to you. So we have situations in life. So let's take them like this nobleman. Let's take them to Jesus. All right. Second, believe. Believe what? Believe that Jesus can fix them. Believe that he can fix them. Believe above everything else that nobody else can. He can. But don't stop with believing he can. Believe that he will. Believe that he will fix them because he said, I will fix them for you. So believe that he can. Believe that he will. See, the nobleman knew that he could. He believed that he could, and he believed that he would. That's why he went to him. So this morning, believe. Tomorrow, believe. Wednesday, believe. Next week, when life happens, believe that he can fix them. Believe that he will fix them. Fourth, look for God's hand. Look for God's hand moving in the situation. Don't just say, God, do something, and then look away and hope it gets fixed. But look for God's hand in the situation. Because what you'll find is that you'll see him moving, and you'll see him changing things, and you'll see him directing things, and you'll see him working things out for your good. You'll see that he takes an active role in your life, in your cares, and your worries. Is that me? Okay. All right. Can you hear me? I'm off. Okay, I'm on. Whatever. We're here. But you'll see that God's hand goes through your life with you. And in those situations, he takes special effort and moves. You'll see that. Look for that. You see, God said, and speaking of temptations, he said, with every temptation that you ever go through, I will make a way. I'll make a way out. I'll make a way through. And Jesus said, I am the way. So in those moments, look for the way, look for Jesus, look for his hand, look for his heart, and you'll see him moving. And then lastly, now I'm just about done. Lastly, once we've heard about God, once we've come to God, once we believe on God, once we see God. Let's give Him credit. Don't forget to give God credit. Because when you ask and He moves, because you ask and He will, don't forget to give Him credit for what He's done. Whether it's healing somebody, whether it's saving somebody, whether it's protecting somebody, whether it's giving answers, whether it's giving strength, whether it's giving peace, whatever it is, don't forget to give God credit. Always give God credit. So this morning as we stand and get ready to sing, just like the nobleman, if you have a need, if you have an issue, if you have a care, if you have a worry, if you have a situation, if you have anxiety, if you just want to talk to Jesus, He's right here, He's ready, and He's waiting, and He will, if you'll just meet Him.
Page 23. Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther?
You this morning and you need prayer, just raise your hand up, put it back down. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Hands everywhere. Church, pray for those hands. Bless you. Bless you. Pray for those hands. You don't need to know the people, you know the hands. So throughout this week, throughout today, when it comes to your mind this morning, pray. All right, you can raise your hands. Anybody have anything? I have one thing because it's you. The progressive dinner. What time? 4:30. See, I was way off. See, I was telling them all kinds of wrong stuff today. So I told them to check with you. 4:30 at Sissonville High School. I told them 6 o'clock at Goldtown. Hey, I don't know. And someone immediately said, no, you're wrong. So, all right. Emily has to know today if you're going to take part. It's free food, so why not? Right? So kids, teenagers, tell Emily if you want to take part. 4:30, Sissonville High School. They're going to drive around at different houses and eat. So, yeah, it'll be fun. Board meeting, anything else?